When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Well, hello there. Welcome to the show. Brought to you in association with West Yorkshire Electrical this show. Rob, sitting in for Michael as he's on his way back from Wales. Do you want to have a run at the old thing? I know, just have a run at it. You'll do it better than Michael, probably.
Well, in true Michael form, I've got the website up in front of me. So, according to this, if it's got wires, they work with it.
Fully accredited electrician. Now with a team of roofers in the business as well. Phil, that's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, what a pro. Tell you what. Yeah. Seamless.
Solar panels, specialists in all the renewables. So if you get your solar panels and your battery storage as well, they'll do it properly, the roof, which is great. wyelectrical.co.uk for details, and obviously tell them that we sent you. Right, Phil, the view from the press box, and we are back in action after the international break. First of all, did you enjoy the break?
I did. I enjoyed it more until we got up to the press conference yesterday and found out the various people were injured or struggling or doubts or whatever else for the weekend. It's like chapter 3000 of why we hate international football from time to time. But yeah, it's been quite good. It's been nice to have a breather. I think Farkas probably appreciated having a bit of a gap between games. I think he would have liked this break to have been different, and there'd been so many players away and some who aren't fit and everything else. He hasn't actually been able to do that much with the players who he's had. But even so, it was so intense from January through to this gap. I think it'll be good for everybody.
Yeah, I think I have to admit, it's just been nice just to step away from it just enough that I'm ready to go again now. Are you excited, Rob, for picking things back up for Easter? It feels like Easter is always make or break in the Championship.
Yeah, I mean, Leeds don't really do Easter, do we, a lot of the time? But no, I am. 8 games to go. There's a lot to play for. It is exciting. I did enjoy in Farkas presser yesterday. He did make a point of saying, yeah, it's been great. Me and the coaching staff have been able to relax. The players are all knackered, but at least we've got our feet up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but as the captain of the ship, as the leader of the tribe, him being mentally fresh will help as well.
Yeah, he's never looked unmentally fresh, I don't think. It's funny, Rob, saying as well that Leeds don't do Easter. Loads of people have said to me, you know, at the start of this season, Leeds don't do the second half of the season either. And actually, this has been one of those years where they've done it incredibly well to this point. So maybe Easter will follow suit. But I think a few weeks back, we were talking about the Easter weekend and saying that it looked pretty pivotal, not just because you've got 2 games in 4 days, so 6 points that are going to make quite a big difference to the table, depending on how it goes, but also because Watford away, I don't think, is a gimme at all. And Hull at home on Easter Monday is a difficult fixture in its own right. I think they're one of the better teams in the division this season. So it is going to be pretty critical. I think we could find out a lot over this weekend. And I thought it was quite interesting, actually, Farkas said yesterday that they're going to have to kind of press a button at Watford. You know, they are going to have to go there and pretty much just turn it on from a bit of a standing start with players coming back from internationals. Not much in the way of training sessions for them either. But that is one thing they've been really good at, is just getting it done time and time again. I mean, that was pretty much the story of the run through those games at Swansea and Plymouth, was just the ability to turn up and make it happen. And, you know, to put points on the board when they had to. So he'll be after that again.
And a team that's been in as good a form as Leeds have been in, you are hopeful, I suppose, and optimistic that they will find that easier than a team that's had patchy form, let's say.
Well, he said, I asked him yesterday about, you know, how much at this point is it just about nerve and stamina, and how much does it come down to tactics, given that you've worked with them from, you know, from the start of July onwards now, and okay, at the start of the season when you had players leaving, players coming in, tactically there was probably a lot to do and a lot to sort out and a lot to drill down into so that they really understood what was going on. But by this stage, they know him, they know his tactics, his plan, inside out. There's not a lot to discuss there. And he said more than anything, when they go away for internationals, it's about getting them out of the sort of habits or the mindset that they get into with an international teams who play differently or set up in different ways, have a different approach, and getting their heads back into what it is that Leeds do, what Leeds are supposed to do when they go to Watford, how they're meant to play. I don't imagine that's tremendously difficult, but he was just kind of saying having the time to do that, just a few sessions to reset, is always really helpful. And in some cases, I think particularly Filippo, who was due back this morning, late this morning, I think we'll have a recovery session at most. That's not straightforward in these circumstances.
I suppose, as we were saying in the show that we did last week, maybe even just a change of voice can help, though, from the player's perspective. So they'll have been in the Leeds United bubble for so long in the run-up to this that just going away and hearing some different voices can just help to refresh and reset the mind.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, it was nice. Farke was talking yesterday as well about coming back and being part of the family again. And it was Willie Nonto on the official podcast last week or the week before. He was talking about how the big difference this season compared to last season is that they all just genuinely like going in and working together and being in training, and the vibe is a lot more positive. So, I mean, Farke yesterday was talking about Dan James and the Welsh players specifically. He was like, they're going to be on a massive downer, but at least they get back to their family where they all like working, and it will just be a breath of fresh air for them as well a bit.
And no time to dwell on it, Phil.
No.
Because Dan James is obviously going to be psychologically affected to some extent. You know, he's a professional footballer. You'd hope he'd be able to shake that one off pretty quickly, but still.
Yeah, I saw him briefly, James, yesterday. He was in the canteen, which tells you, you know, how quickly you go from being in Cardiff one moment to being back at Thorpe Arch. And I don't know how much you can really read into somebody's body language in the space of 2 seconds as you walk past them, but he looked fairly sort of pragmatic, which isn't to say that he won't have been bothered about it. I mean, it'll have really stung that. And bless him, I mean, there was a lot of pressure on that penalty. And I suspect, having watched it, I think a goalkeeper would probably tell you that it was a little bit telegraphed, that one. I think with his body shape, you could almost tell which direction it was going. And Chesney obviously read it, and somebody had to miss. And I just thought Wales were very unlucky on the night. There was not much coming from Poland. There wasn't much in that Poland performance that made you think, oh joy, they're off to the Euros. Looking forward to watching that through the summer. But that's the way it goes, and that's the way it works. Farke had said that he hadn't actually been in touch with any of them. He just kind of left them to get on with it, which seems to make sense to me. And it is a big bonus, I think, that you're coming straight back into a really, really intense and very promising promotion fight. It does, I think, grab your attention straight away. It will distract them. Be interesting to see whether or not in the performance tomorrow you see a bit of frustration from them about what's gone on earlier in the week, and whether you see big performances from them. But you saying, you know, about new voice, different voice, just getting out of the bubble a little bit. This is probably, as much as I've ever seen from a Leeds squad, the least they've looked like they've needed that. You know, it didn't feel as if everybody needed to get away from Leeds. I think when the break came, it was good because they'd beaten so much football leading up to that point. But they didn't strike me, Leeds, as a team who were desperate just to get out of the rat race for a couple of weeks. I think they could have carried on quite happily. And I think from Farke's perspective, now that they have to go to Watford with players back late and to pick it up again, you know, almost with a click of a fingers, he'd probably rather that they've been playing through these 2 weeks as well.
Yeah, I suppose from Dan James' perspective as well, there's a little bit of added spice around Hull, given that that's the neck of the woods that he's from, a chance to focus on that and move forward rather than dwell on the disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, he was obviously at Hull before he went down to Swansea. I don't know how much beef there is with Hull, but that's just a good game all round, I think. As I say, they've made some good signings. Hull, they've definitely thrown a bit of money at this as well. I think there's a hope there that they can make it happen in the playoffs. So this did feel like two games back to back. This felt like a pretty hard period. I think there've been a lot of games this season, certainly in the second half of the season, where you felt very confident about Leeds winning them because of the teams they were playing. I think you can make an argument quite easily for them winning both of these games too. But they look like testing fixtures on paper, I think.
It's interesting, isn't it, looking at what we felt like was a psychological advantage going into the break, top of the table, and Farke did touch on the fact that Leicester, he's saying, have still got the advantage here, the whip hand, because they've got that game in hand, and he expects them to get a point or points from that game. We had the psychological advantage coming into the break, but now we're heading out of it and we've not seen Leeds play for a bit. That little creeping doubt starts to just come in, doesn't it, thinking, well, and it's what you've said before, Phil, about reverting to type. Are we going to see Leeds United do the usual Easter collapse? That there's memories of Wigan in there in fairly recent memory. And you think, do we just need to get out there and once again prove our bona fides this season, that it's not some sort of, you know, 38 game error up to this point?
That's a great way of putting it. I can never go to Vicarage Road, and it's changed since this particular season, but I can never go there without thinking about Chelino on the bench with McDermott saying whatever he was saying to him, and McDermott looking at him in those photographs as if to say, look, just get on and sack me because you're going to do it anyway. So maybe the time's now. And somebody in my office said to me, you know, they're a bit boring this season, Leeds. And he wasn't talking about the football and the way they're playing. Just said, you know, you can almost always look to Leeds for something ludicrous to be going on. And it just isn't like that. And I think that that kind of feeds into the football, which is that just, you know, on repeat, high level of performance constantly, good results. I was asking Farke yesterday whether he's ever worked with a kind of more reliable team than this one. And I do think with this side, you know, certainly from the turn of the year, you've kind of really had a clear idea, definite idea in your head of what's going to turn up and what they're going to do. And I'm not saying it makes it easy for a coach that, but it makes it a lot simpler than a side who blow hot and cold. They tend to be the most frustrating sides to manage because you have periods where it looks good, periods where it doesn't. I think if you're struggling, you kind of know what it is that you need to work on. If it's going well, then like at the moment, you can almost let it ride a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. They're in such a good position, Leeds. There's a lot going on at Leicester, an awful lot. I was having a good chuckle at that piece that we did that was talking about the fact that if Leicester wanted to, they could expedite this PSR process, find out the punishment sooner. You're thinking, well, you know, fill your boots if you want. But that does feel, and I'm not saying this about the players in Maresca, but I think for the club, that does feel like it's become a big distraction very quickly, that.
Yeah, you could take your eye off the ball quite easily, couldn't you? In terms of Watford, and we said before, you've got to run your own race in this league, haven't you? Not worry about what anybody else does. But in terms of Watford, that's Leeds' immediate task. They are 9 points clear of the drop zone. Is that, do you think, significant enough at this stage of the season? A lot can change, but 8 games, 9-point gap to make up. There's a lot of teams beneath them. Are they safe? And having made the managerial change cleverly, just in there to see them through to the end of the season, do you get that air about that?
I hope so. They're always weird of what to make of Watford. It's like playing a football manager save, especially when Tom Cleverley's now the manager. You know, how has this happened? I always kind of half expect to rock up and there'll be like Thomas Christiansen there or something. You sort of feel like he's going to get a go eventually. I'm kind of intrigued to see what the Leeds team will be like, given there are lots of players that seem to be going to be assessed within, well, now, like 24 hours before the game. And like, there's a bit of uncertainty with Conor Roberts and if Gruever's also got a knock, where Archie Gray's going to play and how that affects the defence and whether Ampadu might step up. But you think, I don't know, Leeds have been almost just unsettlingly comfortable all season, where they're just in the groove. They seem to know what they do. And again, you compare it to last season where it felt like nobody knew what they were doing or what we were even trying to do. This year, it's like they're just on it. So I think those two away games where they got a bit unstuck around Christmas, it felt like we kind of tried to warm into those games a little bit. Whereas since the turn of the year, we've just been on it from the start of the game. So hopefully it's more of the same.
I think Rob's right about Watford. I mean, it doesn't seem, for the supporters down there, doesn't ever seem any point in attaching yourself too tightly to an individual coach, because they do come and go so rapidly. And you would think with, you know, Rob Edwards going up there M1 and getting Luton promoted that the penny might drop, but apparently not. Yeah, Watford are a kind of strange side. I was thinking back to the game at Elland Road earlier in the season. I'm struggling to remember a single thing about them that stood out particularly.
It was a bit of a non-event apart from Jorginho showing off, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, and it was a kind of classic Elland Road game this season of waiting for Leeds to score, you know, which they did and got the job done as they so often seem to do, which means that it's quite hard to know what you're going to get from Watford. Cleverley was under-18s coach down there, so like you say, is stepping into the breach. I think they probably are safe, the position that they're in, just because of what's going on down below them. So a bit of an unknown quantity.
They've got a terrible home record, Phil.
Well, they have. I mean, I don't know. Even, you remember the statement they put out where they, or the tweet that they did where they said, with Ishmael, a statement, and it was a contract extension. And I think had they sacked him at that point, it probably would have been less of a surprise. Even though he didn't really merit it, I don't think at that particular stage, it would have been less of a surprise than the fact that they were actually extending his deal. But I remember.
Do you reckon that was like a back me or sack me thing?
It's very. From this distance, I have no idea what it was all about, but it was quite amusing. I just remember Edwards going in there, who had, you know, has got good stock, good reputation, had kind of built himself up, had taken the leap, and him saying, I'm here to build something and I'm here to create a project, or certainly to start a project. And I was just thinking, but nobody builds anything at Watford. You know, there is no project at Watford. You stick around for a bit and then you go, which is what happened with him. Whereas at Luton, where he is now, you know, he's done good things. They've stood by him. I imagine they probably will do, no matter what goes on with them in the Premier League. As far as the injuries go, I mean, as it stands at the moment, so Stroik's gone for surgery on a adductor groin injury. So that's him out for the season. He'll be back for pre-season. The same's true of Darko JB as well, although he was on loan at Plymouth, doing pretty well down there by all accounts, but that's his season done as well. Nonto has a slight hamstring injury. Gruev has this ankle problem. There's a muscular problem for Connor Roberts as well. Rutil coming back from hernia surgery, but is training again and has a chance. So none of them ruled out. I think we're very near the point of a season now where coaches and players start to gamble on injuries. I always get the sense more and more now that coaches generally don't like to be seen to be taking big risks on players who aren't fully fit. It looks desperate, and it can look a little bit like, not that you're a one-man team, but there are players you can't do without. You know, you're pushing it to extremes. But I think at this point, with somebody like Gruev, that is possibly one of those where you start to say, look, can you go through this and can you play through this and can you stick around? Because games are in single figures. The finishing line is getting really close now and players will want to play. Stroik will be absolutely gutted that he's not going to be involved in this.
I'm just looking at Watford's form across the whole season. They haven't won at home since November when they beat Norwich, and their other previous home wins. And you'll notice the trend among these teams: QPR, Birmingham, Sheffield Wednesday and Rotherham.
Mm.
All shit.
Glad you said that.
Well, they are, aren't they? That's what the table shows. In fact, most of their wins were there's a couple of little outliers in there. Like they went to Hull and won at the start of December. They won 5-1 at Preston, a team that Leeds just couldn't quite get the measure of this season. And they won at Blackburn as well. But most of their defeats, sort of, if you were to look at a general trend overall, have come against the teams that are down there and beneath them in the table. We're above them in the table. We're top of the table. We should, again, when you examine it on paper, and we know football is played on grass, not paper, is there any reason why we shouldn't expect to win this? That's not to say that we will.
Well, only what Rob said, which was that there are players who are obviously not quite 100%, and the players coming back from international duty. I think particularly the Welsh contingent who had to go through extra time on Tuesday night, how much is left in their legs? It has to be said that to this point, it hasn't looked like a trial for Ampadu in particular to go through game after game. And the same's true of Rodon as well. That, I think, will be the biggest threat, that everybody's a little bit off it, that they're a bit jaded, that this push-the-button thing that Farke is looking for doesn't happen because the circumstances aren't right for it. But again, like with basically every game this season, I kind of feel that if Leeds play relatively well, they'll be well-placed to win this.
How do you feel like it's going to go, Rob?
I am confident. I can't imagine it's going to be free-flowing. I think it will be kind of a tricky away game, typical thing, like we've seen it. Hopefully, like we saw at Chef Wednesday, like we've seen at Bristol City, where we're not quite playing as brilliant football as we know we can do. But I think the players and the performances all season, they just give you that confidence that they know what they're doing. They know how to get a result. And yeah, like you say, Watford aren't that great. So we should go there and win. All logic says we should go there and win. But then when you said that they've not won at home since November because it's football, I go, oh shit, they're due a win then, aren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, that's the Leeds United fan you're speaking, isn't it? Completely, yeah, yeah, that irrational fear.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, you can tell where Hull picked up and they did their January transfer business, Phil. 5 wins out of 6 since sort of mid-January. seems to have turned their fortunes around, but they are now four draws on the bounce as well.
They seem to twig that there was this scrap going on at the top, which nobody outside of the top four was going to get involved in. They were breaking away, and you weren't going to catch Southampton, you weren't going to catch Leeds, Ipswich or Leicester. That was going to settle itself, and two of those sides were going to end up in the playoffs. There's an argument to say that on the basis that two playoff spots are kind of wrapped up already, and you don't know who's going to be in them, but you know those are kind of nailed down, that this isn't the season to throw money at it. And actually, when we were writing in January, there were a few senior people at various championship clubs who were saying, this isn't really the moment to throw cash at promotion because the odds on it are pretty slim, partly because the top four have kind of gone, but also because it's pretty close around about fifth and sixth. So it's not even like you can sit and say, well, okay, you've got the top four, but we're the fifth best team in the league. So we'll tie that down. We'll be fine. Hull took the opposite view, which was actually, there's a bit of an opportunity here. We think we can get into the top six. We're going to throw some cash at it. And you saw that with Cavallo in particular from Liverpool, who Leeds had a look at and were kind of interested in, but Leeds were never able to, you know, credibly say to Liverpool, he's going to play a lot. And if you look at how Reuter has been, and okay, even with this hernia injury, has managed to contribute. He hasn't played that well, actually, recently, Reuter, but you start to understand a bit more why not. But it's still had those moments. And that, I think, is a proper hallmark of this Farke squad, is that even when it isn't looking perfect or it isn't going as well as it could, they do come up with something. So for that reason, you know, when Liverpool were saying we need Carvalho to play, he hasn't been playing in his previous loan, you know, Leeds couldn't say, yeah, it'll be every game for him, because Liverpool knew straight up that that wasn't true. Hull were able to say, yeah, we'll play him a lot. You know, he'll be really heavily involved. So that deal was done. It's really, really good signing for them. And that is, I think, exactly the sort of signing that could tip something like the playoffs in their direction. You know, even one big performance from him could be worth the money. So they're dangerous. They are a decent team. What I think will be interesting with them is to see whether, unlike virtually everybody else this season, they actually come to Elland Road and have a bit of a bash.
Yeah, what did you make of the game earlier in the season when Rodon was sent off? It felt like we should have won that, and then the game seemed to turn on that red card, and they famously hit the post as well when it looked easy to score.
Yeah, that was a right old miss, that one. There was the big chance for Reuter in the first half that he should have scored, and it felt to me like after a bit of a non-event before halftime that it was starting to shall I use the word trend towards a Leeds win until Rodon got sent off. And then as soon as Rodon got sent off, it was very difficult for Leeds to do anything for the half hour that remained. Very hard for them to get the foot on the ball. Should have lost it at the end without any doubt. I don't know whether you'd say got out of jail by taking a point from that, because I think over 90 minutes absolutely deserves something. But on the basis of how the back end of the game was going, very much clinging on and fortunate that did hit the post. At that point, they looked competitive. Hull, I didn't think they looked top six, I have to be honest, but I think they've evolved quite a bit since then. And I think they've done some savvy stuff in the market, you know, in January. They really have.
Yeah, speaking to people like this week, we're saying they're actually more worried by the Watford game than the Hull game, just a couple of fans, saying that they feel like with our home form, imagine Hull are quite good away with their away form, but it's the Watford, it's the resetting aspect of this, the pushing the button, as you were saying, Phil, that perhaps feels like the greater challenge than what Hull might bring. And that's not to be disrespectful to Hull, I should say, by the way.
Not at all. I think it's the harder game in terms of the opposition, but you're probably right that pulling everything together for a Friday night at Watford is more of a complex task, depending on what goes on at Watford. I mean, if you lose players to injuries or red cards or whatever down at Watford, then obviously that can have a knock-on effect. But I think, I say, Firpo back today, the Welsh lads back yesterday, but we're just having recovery sessions. I don't think Farke is in desperate need at the moment of having training session after training session to work with them tactically, but I think a bit more time to have cleared out the kind of international vibes would have been helpful.
And it's one hell of a fixture lineup across Good Friday as well. Leicester, the lunchtime kickoff away at Bristol City. So you've got information there, you've got data to factor into your thinking when you come to see Leeds in the last fixture of the day, because we're playing last. Then you've got
they badly need to win that. Leicester really need to win that.
I mean, imagine if they don't.
I just think they're probably one poor result away from, you know,
full blown crisis.
The jitters starting to creep in, yeah, in a big way.
Again, I suppose that's their opportunity to reset, isn't it?
Of course it is. But yeah,
that's not an easy game, that, the Bristol City game, I don't think.
No, but winnable.
Yeah, so you've got Bristol City, Leicester at 12:30. What time are Ipswich playing? They're just before us at 5:30, aren't they? And then in between that, you've got what they called Southampton against Middlesbrough at 3 o'clock. That, which again, won't be easy. Depends how they're viewing that. But we'll know a lot more by the time we kick off, and we'll know even more by the time we finish.
It's really set up to be one of those days where I go, I'm not going to pay attention to any of this until Leeds play, and then find myself just sat in front of the telly.
It's what's known as a lost day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's a good job my car's going in for MOT tomorrow, isn't it? I don't need to be anywhere. Just sit at home and not doom, whatever doom scrolling is, doom viewing.
Just cheering on Luke Ayling, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
And Sam Greenwood. Needing to give us a hand.
And then looking ahead to Easter Monday. Who else is playing on Monday then? So we've got Leicester again in the early kickoff against Norwich. That won't be easy. Again, and you say, you know, that little wobble, if they don't set this right on Friday, they go into another home game, and let's say their fans are not happy, are they? And there's like the PSR stuff is factoring into it, and they're worried about the atmosphere. And obviously,
Norwich have got it together as well.
Yeah, we dive into the fan channels as well on propaganda, and their fans are really.
Are they? I thought it was fine for them.
Shitting their pants. Not Norwich, Leicester, I mean.
Yeah, I know. I thought Leicester were. All happy and hunky dory.
No. Obviously, we're the late kickoff. Ipswich at tea time again against Southampton.
Yes.
Wow.
Mega.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that's effectively Southampton's last bite of the cherry if they don't go and win that?
There's quite a big gap there, isn't there? Mm. All of a sudden, that's developed pretty rapidly, in part because of their postponements and, yes, games in hand. But I think if you were offering me points or games in hand this late in the season, I'd be taking points.
Yeah. What's the ideal result then from that game? A draw, do we think?
I would imagine the ideal result would probably be an Ipswich defeat, but it depends a lot on Good Friday, doesn't it?
But do you then want to invite Southampton back into it? Because that's going to then give them another sniff, isn't it?
Yeah,
whereas if it's a draw, then both drop points.
But if Southampton were to lose on Good Friday, Leeds were to win, then you get into the territory of leaving them behind, don't you?
Mm, what's the gap at the minute then? Let's have a look. So Southampton are on 73 with 36 played. 9 points, but we've played 2 games more. Interesting.
If the gap happened to be 12 points on Monday, there's no way you want Ipswich to take a point from Southampton, is there?
No, you're right. Yeah, they've got 9 games in 29 days, Southampton, from this point.
It's very, very congested for them. As I say, they would not choose that.
And Ipswich is more difficult run of games. I'm doing air quotes, difficult. Starts sort of April time, doesn't it?
They do feel like they've reset, though, Ipswich. You know, they do feel like they've got it together again after a really difficult period. And they're looking more of a threat than I think they were a month ago. It's still very, very wide open, isn't it?
The more we talk about this, the more it makes me shit myself.
I was just thinking I suddenly started feeling anxious here.
Yeah.
When you asked me earlier, I was like, no, I'm excited. It's going to be good.
And then a lovely couple of days away.
Got into the details. I think, oh, God, here we go.
I hate having to talk about Leeds for a living. Why are we doing this?
It's the fact in the Championship as well, it all comes so quickly. You know, it's Man City Arsenal in the Premier League, so it's properly right back to it with that. But, you know, it's not as if in the Premier League, they play twice over the Easter weekend or anything like that. I think the realisation in the Championship is that even by Monday night, things could look massively different, and you're not quite sure how, and you know how you want it to look.
Yeah.
But you know, one way or another, there's going to be a lot of stress in these 4 days.
It's like a driving test or an exam or two in quick succession or something like that, doesn't it?
I think that's the thing as well, though. You read so much into just each passing result, where if you win, you go, oh, we've got it all sorted here, we've got it cracked, we're so confident, we're in our groove. And then if you lose, it's like, oh no, we're shitting it, we're panicking, we're doing a Leeds. And likewise,
it's the unknown, isn't it?
If Leicester lose, it's like, oh, they've bottled it, that's it, they've gone now. But I don't know, it's still...
You try to infer a whole season's worth of kind of feelings from each individual passing day in each game, don't you?
And the funny thing is that I don't know how Leeds or Farke could give you a team to feel more confident about. You know, there's literally no way in which, with the exception of the Huddersfield result, that the game since January could have been any better.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're looking for them to cane everybody 5-0. You know, it's the sort of run which, if Leeds go up, you'll look back and go, well, you know, obviously, yeah.
So how can we feel more comfortable, Rob?
Just shut our eyes drink. And open them at the end of this season. I don't know. Yeah, drink.
Wish Heart it will.
Drugs. Aye.
Don't do that, kids. Don't listen to Phil. Don't follow his advice. Just, again, you're going back to Trainspotting references, Phil, aren't you? Trainspotting references.
It's just them Scottish genes.
Yeah. So yeah, we won't be back immediately after Easter. We'll do a show next week. Dean Smith's going to be hosting rather than me. I'm away. Possibly. This is the thing. I'm missing the whole game as well. I've got to watch it. I hate watching football in among the general public. Not Leeds fans. I can watch Leeds games surrounded by Leeds fans, but we're away. And I'm going to have to watch it with people who don't care or have an opinion on it. Or might say things that I don't agree with. I feel like It's like a comfort blanket being in here or in Elland Road. Anywhere else, I'm not comfortable with it.
Is that better or worse than trying to watch Hearts and your big Hearts games in pubs where people don't even know who the clubs are and are looking at you going, oh, what's
this? And you're going, come on, come on.
Oh, what sport is this?
Yeah. It's been a while since I've kind of watched the Leeds game out of the usual context of either in here or in Elland Road.
That's where you just keep quiet throughout it, though. But then if Leeds win it late, you just start telling everyone to fuck off. Don't you?
Just marching around like, fuck off, come on.
Chairs around the pub.
Leeds, et cetera. That'll be interesting. Yeah, and then obviously, Good Friday tomorrow night. We've got a match ball after that.
It's probably worth saying as well that, you know, on the back of Hull, it is Coventry. That's really, really hard game.
Phil,
I'm not capable
of looking three games down the line.
Everybody powder dry, I think.
Yeah.
No, you've even me.
That. Yeah, God, that's a really tough run of fixtures, isn't it? The whole thing. So yeah, we'll be back between Hull and Coventry to preview that Coventry game. And like you say, you'll know a lot more about what's going on by the time that one comes around. So yeah, 8 wins out of 8. Cruise to the title. Excellent.
Yeah, seven points clear by them. By Monday night,
I'm glad we settled on that, gentlemen. So thank you very much, and we'll be back next week. Just keep everything crossed, time, isn't it? Keep everything crossed. Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you soon.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.